1960, Nigerian independence.
1960 is a very great year for Africa and for Nigeria.
Today marks the 50th anniversary of Nigeria's first coup d'etat. The country had only been out from under British rule for 6 years when Nigerian soldiers assassinated nearly a dozen Nigerian politicians. The acting president announced the transfer of power to the military, and shortly thereafter, General Oguya Iranse held his first press conference.
My main concern is to restore law and order as soon as possible.
That law and order wouldn't come for another 30 years, and today Nigeria is a burgeoning democracy with one of Africa's largest economies. Its promises of prosperity are just now coming true, and Nigerians are beginning to be able to laugh at themselves. Here's famous comedian Clint the Drunk making fun of the many uniformed officials who can demand a bribe or, worse, toss you in the slammer on a whim.
I'm sorry, sir. Please, I respect men in uniform. Even children in school uniform, I respect them. After my last experience, believe me, experience is not the best teacher. Experience is the one that leads you straight to hospital.
Max Siolan is a Nigerian historian and author who says the people have heard claims of better times ahead for most of their lives.
The coup was supposed to be a revolution to get rid of all the ills in the country's politics and society, like corruption and ethnic rivalry. Instead, it turned into somewhat of a case of good intentions and dreadful consequences, and Nigeria basically descended into a succession of military dictatorships, and the military, which was supposed to be temporary redeemers, ended up ruling the country under increasingly authoritarian regimes for 29 of the next 33 years.
Part of what was driving what happened in Nigeria was an effort and a need and a real yearning to get past the colonial period. Was Nigeria successful in that?
Nigeria obviously was a former British colony, and it was really looked upon as the great hope, quote unquote, the giant of Africa that was supposed to be the first African superpower. But less than 6 years after gaining independence, after the British left, the country just descended into ethnic war, civil war, chaos, military dictatorship. So very, very soon after colonialism ended, the hopes for a better future were dashed very quickly.
Nigeria has a huge amount of natural resources, and its ability to survive off of those natural resources has certainly framed the way Nigeria has developed. But why did Nigeria go the way of Congo and Zaire in that it became a kind of kleptocracy where a single dictator ruled for a very, very long period of time? That really wasn't the case in Nigeria.
Yeah, and the economic resources you mentioned were actually a catalyst and incentive for the succession of military dictatorships. Nigeria is by far the richest country in Africa. And unfortunately, all the various ethno-regional interest groups in the country were basically fighting each other to get access to that oil wealth. So it was really a case of that wealth becoming a curse on the country and becoming an incentive for the military dictatorships to seize power and for them being reluctant to relinquish control of the vast wealth in the country as well.
What led to the Biafran War, which really created the divisions in Nigeria that we still see echoes of today?
The north of the country is predominantly Islamic, and the south is predominantly Christian. And not only were the two regions ethnically and religiously polarized, but they were economically and educationally so as well, because the South was far more educated, far more advanced than the North in the 1960s. What happened in 1966 is that a group of army officers from the better educated South staged a coup and assassinated the leaders of the government at the time, who all happened to be Northerners from the Muslim North. And that stoked fears in the North that the better educated South were going to take over the country and dominate the North and relegate them to second-class status forever.
And how did that become a shooting war that really in some ways persists today? Boko Haram's demands on the South are really reminiscent of exactly what was being talked about decades ago.
Well, both regions, the North and South, have fears of each other based on different factors. Now, the issue you mentioned with Boko Haram, that actually is a byproduct of military rule. Because the military spent so much time in power, the country became thoroughly corrupted. The society became very, very militarized, and the use of force basically became an accepted and reasonable avenue for resolving conflict in the society. So I think you need to contextualize and look at the Boko Haram insurgency really as a rebellion against both corruption in Nigerian society, and in some ways as a rebellion against traditional northern authority.
You write about the period of instability that began in 1966, and you end your story in 1976. How would you describe that 10-year period and what it transformed?
I think that conflict taught the combatants a very, very bitter lesson about the evils of ethnic rivalry. And out of the ashes of that war and conflict came this sober realization that Nigerians have got to figure out a reasonable way to live together. And as a result of that, a few years later, Nigeria developed a very, very elaborate constitution with really, really creative mechanisms for power sharing, for making sure that one part of the country does not economically or politically dominate the other. Power rotates between the north and the south on a sequential basis. And I think the lessons learned in that decade of conflict are pretty much what is holding Nigeria together today, albeit every now and then that unity gets rocked.
The talk of Nigeria being the rich country of Africa and the heroic sort of leader of African development back in the 60s, we're hearing that talk today, that Nigeria is the development leader, and that there's an exciting sense of maybe some of that is coming true now, even with all the problems in Nigeria. Does that give people hope?
Absolutely. I think Nigeria has learned lessons from its blood-soaked past. And I think also the demographics of the country are helping. Something like two-thirds of the population are under 30 years of age, and they don't carry the same emotional baggage, the same sense of ethnic rivalry that their parents and grandparents carried. So now in Nigeria, you have a younger, more urbane, very educated population that grew up in multi-ethnic, multi-religious environments and don't view ethnicity as a be-all end-all like the generation before them.
Max Yolen is Nigerian historian, writer, and author of the books Oil, Politics, and Violence, Nigeria's Military Coup Culture, 1966 through 1976, and Soldiers of Fortune, A History of Nigeria. Max, thanks so much.
Thank you.